5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
I could sing.
Put moron number two on the phone.
No, you couldn't.
And then, of course...
La, 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 la.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listen to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, everyone listens and they feel good when they do, especially on a Monday, because you can find out about footy. Damien Barrett not far away. We get a nice slice of what he loves in the AFL space and maybe the other stuff that he's not enjoying quite so much. And I'd imagine there'll be some Melbourne clubs in the crosshairs. What stories trending unusual? Might just give that the house. And then a joke later on as we get ready for a real nice Monday helping. And I look into my screen here, Rabbits Bartholomew.
Yes.
And we used to see a really skinny and sort of not good looking sort of version of fat on an iPad that was 15 years old.
Yes.
Now we've got a full HD widescreen version of our man. What's happened down there, Fat?
Fat is back, Jim. Fat is back and looking fat, actually. And I need some Botox. Anyone out?
You do need help.
HD's not working.
What are you doing, Fat?
Fat's back in town. I've found a computer downstairs, so I've just brought it up. I had to join up on Zoom, Jim. That takes a while.
Oh, no.
And they want 8 characters. What about that?
Now you've locked. You've locked screen.
Have I?
Yes.
No, I'm still going.
And it's not good Uncle Fester style.
Oh, no. I need some Botox.
Yeah,
he's back. Don't worry about that, Jim. Right. Hey, now, and g'day to you, Rabs. You're looking big.
But the vaccination hub at the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre has been told it has to pack up and move out by the end of June to make way for Sexpo.
Oh, wow. Jim, they've got
big
the
event,
lemonade.
Sexpo. Always big event.
But I reckon the coronavirus is probably bigger at
the
minute.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
That's what you think?
Yeah. I think that.
We'll just close another thing down. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, I would have thought the coronavirus at the minute and people getting jabs.
Corona.
What about the anti-vaxxers, Jim? Fair
to go. I don't get any of it, Bill. I don't get any of it.
Oh, wowee. Anyway,
Lord Maywag.
Yes, let's have a chat about him. I think he's fighting.
Lord Maywag.
He's fighting today, Jim, of course. He's 44, you know.
Too old 44. To be fighting. Lord.
Well, he's at 50 fights, 50 wins, 27 of them knockout, I think, off the top of my head. He's fighting Logan Paul, who's a YouTube sensation, Jim. Only had one professional fight, which he lost, by the way. So 8 3-minute rounds, no judges, no scorecard. So it's an exhibition-type fight. And you'd think Lord Maywag would win that
How
one.
How much
easy,
is he
you?
Making out of it, Lord?
I think he's going. That's why he's doing it, Jim. Right. Surely he's got plenty of money. I don't know exactly, to be honest.
With that grab, I think that the Lord gets brushed over because Maywag is really bad.
Yep.
Lord is so far away from Floyd.
I know. It was all wrong, but then the middle bit, there's a little wobble in that. Like, if you have another listen.
Lord Maywag.
Maywag. What happened there? That middle bit of the second bit.
What about John Rahm, Jim? What about John Rahm has played one of the great 18s of his life.
Yep.
He's 6 shots clear. He's leading the Memorial Tournament. Yep. 8 under 64. He walks off the 18th and a couple of people, judges, grab him and this is what happened.
There is, and I've confirmed it through the PGA Tour, that John Rahm has tested positive for COVID-19.
That means he will have to withdraw from the tournament.
Bill, was astounding. When you're watching it, you're thinking, right, he's walked off with a 64, he's 6 shots clear going into the final round, so it's how far, of course.
Yep.
And then they came walking up to him, and you could tell with his body language that was like someone had sort of belted him in the guts. And then he just sort of almost crumpled to the ground, and it was incredible. He is a nuts golfer, by the way, John Rahm. He'll win lots of tournaments. But, you got to feel for him because Patrick Cantlay, I think, in the end, won it in the playoff. He was so far ahead that he would have walked home.
Oh, mate, he was flying, playing some unbelievable golf. He 64, which is unbelievable. And he was going to win, Jim, $2.2 million. Dollars. $2.2 million, if you don't mind. And he lost it all. So bad luck to him, but he'll be back. Don't worry about that. Melbourne Storm. Oh, this was a tough game against the Titans.
Mm-hmm. Rugby good league.
Close, rugby, league. Yeah, rugby league. Good, close, tough game. They were a player down because they lost one who was sent off. But they got there in the end. I tell you, it was good again. Our man, the Cheese.
Oh, are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. He was old hectic. Good. Well, still no Cameron Munster and Josh Addo-Carr and Kristen Welsh and Pappenhausen. So there, and then there are a few players, obviously, with State of Origin. But well done to the I think he's calling himself Mozzarella now.
Is he? Yeah. Change names.
He's changed his
well,
name.
I tell you, my kids have picked up on it because we were, they're obviously at home and locked down, so they're bored and therefore mischievous. Yes. And they're down the corridor doing some bloody thing or another, Henry and George. And anyway, I've given it that at one stage they were yelling something out and I said, "You sure?" And then I heard from either end of the corridor, "Yes, I'm sure." So even my two have picked up on it.
Oh, it's funny.
I like it. All right, now, Damo coming. What else have we got, please?
Melbourne United have finished the regular season, Jim. They are flying. They're on top of the ladder. They beat the 36ers the other night. And you know what they did? They played the bench. They got the boys off the bench and gave them some game time. So a good win there. They finished on top. We'll see what happens there. Still got to play Perth in the final. So good luck to United, of course.
Yep.
Roger Federer has quit the French Open. Pulled out, Jim. What do you reckon about that?
And drew some criticism, I saw, from the McEnroe brothers, among others.
Yes.
Basically saying that you shouldn't use a major to warm up for a major. You know, the spots in a major field are so hard to come by. So people are basically saying he was only ever going to play this many games, and that's not treating the event with enough respect. But equal measure, Bill. Other people were saying it's Roger Federer. He can do whatever the hell he likes.
That's right. I think I'm in that camp. Ash Barty also pulled out, remember?
Ashley Barty.
Yeah, that's right. So she pulled out. So that is all, Jim. That's all I've really got for you because I can see Damo and I can see his feathers.
He's here. He's ready. We're going to talk footy next with Damo.
It's the Rush Hour. JB and Bill on Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Now, Jim, I've got the awkward of all awkwardness. Awkward with a capital A.
James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour and it's time to chat footy.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Nice to have you in, Damo. Hello, Jim, on a Bill. Monday and a time to be positive, I think.
Yeah,
I
we will.
You look like you've got some positivity about you.
We've tried to bring positivity to the Monday program, Jim, and we're going to start with a big positive plus on Jamie Elliott's performance for Collingwood on the weekend. To come back first up, Bill, in racehorse parlance after not playing since round two and to kick the six goals to ultimately win the game, but set the tone and the theme, didn't he, as he did earlier. With four first quarter goals, and it was great to see him do that. It was also good to see Collingwood play in a manner in which was not common in the previous fortnight, certainly.
Spot on. And I reckon I said that during the week. I know you blokes won't give me any praise, but
I
not say they'll throw the game plan out the window and they'll just go out there and have fun and enjoy it and kick goals?
I reckon you actually did say that, Bill, and we probably should give you some retrospective credit here for that.
No credit. Bill's
well done.
I tell you what I like, as well as Elliot, who's a star, and it's been sad that he hasn't played enough footy given his body issues. I like little Bianco.
Yeah.
Hasn't he come in and just looked very comfortable?
Looked nice in using the ball, didn't he? Like, didn't get a lot of it, but given it's his first season of footy and he had a few interruptions in the off-season body-wise, to get him out there at the halfway point of his season, going very nicely. But look,
Poulter.
I like what he's doing, Bill. Yeah.
Like him.
He looks at home, doesn't he? He doesn't look at all out of sorts on an AFL venue. The commentary around rounds 10 and 11 games, now they're the games that they lost by 1 point and 10 points respectively to Port Adelaide and Geelong, who both think they're premiership credentialed teams, Jim.
Yep.
It was the commentary around the aesthetics of the game, wasn't it? Which was the negative. Look, if you want to just remove how it looked and you look at the scoreboard, and it's a win-loss game, they lost those games by a combined margin of 11 points. You then factor in the way Nathan Buckley structured up on the weekend when he finally was able to get someone into his forward line who actually could be a target. The body of work in those 3 weeks alone shows that Nathan Buckley can be a defensive coach, he can be an attacking coach, and he can roughly get the results that the club is getting and right to get at this stage of its evolution, whatever that stage is, given what happened last year in the trade period.
All of that said, and I'm not disagreeing with any of it, if Adelaide kicks straight in the second quarter, the game's done.
And
Texan kicked one goal six. Yeah. What the hell was he doing, our man?
Yeah, he was. He's had a good year, but that wasn't one of his good games in that regard.
Had a horrible time in front of goal. Mm. But anyway, credit to him. Winning's winning. That's all we care about. Melbourne, of course, just keep getting the job done.
They do, and in consecutive weeks have now knocked off the Western Bulldogs and Brisbane. In varying ways, wasn't it, Bill? I mean, look, the midfield was ultimately dominant in both of those games, but they had to come from four goals down against the Lions in the most recent of those games. And that, to me, was their most impressive performance of the year.
Yeah, you're spot on. That was the question asked. Can they come back? The Lions should have been in front by more, I reckon, at half time. But that was the question everyone was asking. And straight away, as soon as the ball was bounced, they were into it. Well done to Melbourne. They are genuine now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 9-3 second half in favour of Melbourne. Simon Goodwin, a lot of credit needs to go his way, because a lot of people were actually questioning whether he was the man for them going forward last year and the year before when they were underwhelming. Yeah. Now they're ridiculously overwhelming. He's got to take a lot of credit.
They do, and they took a lot more out of 2020 than I think most people on the outside of the club did. They blew it up late, didn't they? They missed by percentage only when it came to the finals, but there were games, I think it was around 14 and 15, that they lost where they were meant to win, and that would have got them in. They still drew on what they felt they learnt out of last year, and you just can't talk more impressively about them, can you, than with what they've done? Because the adversity came even before the first round. They spent their whole pre-season preparing to have a forward line of Wiedemann and Brown, and then they didn't get those two guys together in the same team until round 9, and now one of them, Brown, not even in the mix. Wiedemann yet to establish himself as the permanent, but although I feel he's doing enough without having the massive impact stats-wise and on the scoreboard-wise, but I wouldn't be surprised if Ben Brown gets another look in at some stage somehow, but they've managed to do it with
Tommy
a makeshift forward line. Tom McDonald's amazing. Hey, he was so crucial back in 2018, wasn't he, when they got on that other preliminary final role. Just on the off-field component to it, Bill, I know you're across this too, but the loss of the game being not played in Alice Springs last Friday, combined with next Monday's game, the Queen's birthday game, being moved from the MCG to the SCG, about a $1.8 million shortfall on the books there for the Demons. It's unfortunate given that their two best wins in maybe 20 years when it comes to home and away wins have also, unfortunately for them, coincided with a hit on the books, which is not their doing.
No, that is tough. In fact, speaking of Tommy McDonald, Rabbits and I were talking about it while we were waiting for you for hours to get your fat ass in here and start working. But Tommy is getting on the end of much better ball movement. The way Melbourne are moving the ball and getting it inside 50 is unrecognisable from previous years.
Spot on. And he's kicking well. He's kicking beautifully. But the other thing was, he was very quiet at half time. So was Oliver. So was Petrarca. But they all got dirty. They got their hands dirty. And he was very good after half time, Tommy McDonald. So I love the way he goes about it. Well done to him. Well done to Melbourne. I tell you what else was a positive you got to have down there. The Dreamtime. Dreamtime at Oz. At OS over there in Perth. The public, 56,000 people turned up, and what a game.
Yeah, they've had so many good occasions with the Indigenous ceremony around these games, haven't they, Bill, now for a number of years. But no ceremony has been done better than what was done at Optus Stadium on the weekend. I'm not saying it was the best, but no ceremony has been done better. And then the game itself lived up to the hype that was part of the appeal to the game being moved there and embraced by the people in Perth. And to think that Melbourne could start the third quarter or the fourth quarter, sorry, Essendon, could start the fourth quarter with effectively a four-goal deficit and to hit the front less than halfway through that last turn. And then, Jim, to then watch Richmond just go, okay, you want to go with us? Jeez. Do you really want to go with us? Well, let's go.
Like Lord Sebastian Coe at about the 1,100-metre mark, just dropping the hammer, and they just couldn't go with him. And they're still an extraordinary footy team, Richmond, and they showed it in that 15-minute burst. When they get it right, you just can't go with them.
No, you can't. Bill, what should they now do with Marvio Chol? Covered, obviously, for Nan Curvis, who wasn't in the team. He could be back as early as this week for the West Coast game.
Well, I tell you what, two phones, and the other boy, Coleman Jones.
Oh, yes.
I tell you what, there'll be some clubs knocking on doors and wondering what's going on with those two. So, now, as you said, Nan Curvis looks like he comes back.
Does Chol stay in if he does, though, Bill?
Yeah, I think so. Because he's more than a ruckman. He can play forward. He roams around beautifully. He can play. So I reckon he does stay in, yes.
Of the three premierships they've won, they've gone into two of those three with makeshift ruckman. I mean, you used to make a lot of fun with Sean Grigg, Jim, who did it.
Premiership. He calls himself a premiership
ruckman. 2017. And even last year, Marlon Pickett was effectively the second ruck in that Sean Grigg way. In 2019, they had Soldo in the team, so there's the double whammy ruckman. But their preference seems to be that they just go with Nan Kervis. But the Chole's form is almost irresistible now when it comes to his needs. Yep. Western Bulldogs, while we're on the positives, I thought it was just a really workmanlike performance by them against the Dockers yesterday, who were gallant. We'll get to them on the other side of the equation, not from a bad negative sense, but from a bad situational sense in the injuries. We'll get to that soon. But the Bulldogs just do what they have to do this year. There's a predictability about them, which is powerful. And once again, it was Bontempelli who just before halftime with two long bomb goals. And then even in the third quarter when Liberatore, unusually for him, kicked two key and crucial goals at key times. They just step up when they need to, and they're just winning the games of footy. And it's good to see them bounce back too after what they were faced with the previous week when Melbourne got them, and their previous and only other loss in the year was against Richmond. Yes. So they're losing to the absolute best and doing the right things against every other team.
They're very well positioned, the Western Bulldogs. While we're going with the goods, I'm going to throw a player from Fremantle into the goods. Might be my favourite player in the last 10 years. No. Mundy, and he is just getting better and better. He is an extraordinary footballer, David Mundy, for me, Purple. If he's not in the All-Australian team right now, the selectors don't know what they're looking at.
I agree with that, Jim. And while there's still 10 rounds of footy to go, he'd only need to just even the ledger on being half at a decent player in five or six of those, and I reckon he should be in. I reckon he's almost done enough to be guaranteed that spot.
I'll give you two more. Shai Bolton and Zach Bailey.
Well, Zach Bailey, definitely. Bolton, maybe, certainly Zach Bailey.
It'd be nice to see some fresh names like those two in there too, wouldn't it, Bill?
Yeah, it would be. Hey, what about the goal? Speaking of Frio and positive, little Mekong...
little Stephen.
Steve, what about that goal on the boundary?
What the hell was he thinking? Just a little banana from 40?
He's happy with it too, wasn't he?
Then turned to the crowd and a little get around me. There was a bit too much of that for my liking. No, it was a very good goal. I agree with that. Terrific. Hey, the Swans, speaking of just getting the job done.
It was important from the point of view of just staying ahead significantly of the teams that were starting to emerge outside the A, like a GWS and an Essendon going into that particular period. So I'm now absolutely convinced that they're there in September. They've done, in my eyes, more than enough. Look, some results have gone their way fortuitously, but they've worked hard to get themselves into those situations anyway, and I still think there's significant upside in the remainder of 2021. No, I know you've got a little bit of a question mark.
They've done well, and they were very poor last year, so to bounce back this quickly and be as good as they are is great credit to Horst Longmire and his staff. Also, I thought West Coast Fat, I mean, we're going to get to Carlton, and I know you've got some strong thoughts on them, but that's a waffle team they played on the weekend, and to travel and win, you've got to hand it to them.
Exactly right. It was East Fremantle seconds they played, and Carlton was supposed to win. Well done to the West Coast. Did you see how many they had out? Who was actually out? It's a disgrace, Carlton. Well, they should have won that. I can't believe it.
Well, take your pick on who's the best of these five, and you, each individual could mount a case of being the most important player of the team. Oscar Allen, who I think is now their most important player. You've then got Jeremy McGovern, who is in any other season. Shuey, who just is the captain and a superstar. Kennedy, who's aging but still very important. And Tim Kelly, who's hitting some nice form. Then throw in Liam Duggan, too, who's a first picker. They then lose Brad Shepherd early in the game with concussion. I know that was mitigated somewhat by McKay going down as well. But ultimately, there's seven names inside their best 11 or 12.
No, I'm with you. All right, we need a break because this positivity can't last.
It's the rush hour. JB and Bill on Triple M.
This is Damo's Recovery Session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Going through the positives of round 12. Now we go through the negatives, and we've got a couple of big Melbourne clubs in the crosshairs.
Where are we starting?
We have to start with the club, Jim, that I think that I've got a real problem with, that being Carlton. We talked all week that was a game that they could not possibly lose against West Coast. The bookies fell for them too. They were into the 2-1 on, Bill, in the old bookmaking vernacular, less than $1.50. 4-8 now, Jim, going into the bye for them after round 12. Not one win out of seven matches this year against teams teams in the top eight there. Ultimately, recruits have not worked, and there's been a lot of them on a lot of good money over the duration. They've now got a problem with how to manage the 295-game player in Mark Murphy, how they get him to 300, because I think they've committed to him. I think they need to. And then you've got the other problem too, that being the coach, who's now got a 17-win, 23-loss scoreline since taking over in 2019. There is nothing that is out of the ordinary when it comes to the Blues. And here we are yet again, halfway through a season, it's already shot to bits.
Spot on. I just thought they were terrible. Like, as you said, the punters have backed him into $1.50. West Coast had all those injuries. West Coast can't win away from Perth. And they smashed him in contested ball, which is, that's just a thing on the day. You got to win that. You got to actually have Fearnicom have a go. They didn't. They were poor. Gee, they were poor. And I don't know what they do with David Teague, to be honest.
Well, they've got the bye, as you said, Damo, and then after that, they've got the Giants, Adelaide and Freo.
Yep.
And this is what Carlton can do.
Yes.
They can get on these late-season rolls when the season's done.
Yep.
And everyone starts going, oh, hello.
Yeah.
Now there's some, some light at the end of the tunnel, but they do it when the season's shot.
But that's if they win all three. Even if they win all three, and they'll lose one of them because that's what they do, they'll only be seven.
But what I'm saying is they can tickle the old you-know-what.
Yes.
But it's always once the season's shot.
Yeah.
You know, the work's got to be done in your first 10 games.
Absolutely. When they went to 0-2 to start the year, it was yet again, here we go again. And then they managed to get it back a little bit, but not against the top eight teams. And I've said it, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, Jim, they never, ever surprise us with an outcome, do they? You just, did you see Carlton on the weekend? Geez, they were good. No, you never, ever say that about them. And that's I think, as big a problem as they've got. To hear David Teague regularly talk after a game, our fans won't be happy with that. No, well, they won't be. And they haven't been for a very long time. And the almost realisation last night too, there was a slight change in narrative that we're a fair way off the pace here when it comes to some of the competitive ball that they're just not capable of getting. And just back on the Mark Murphy situation, I feel they owe it to him to get to 300. They've gone into the season knowing the situation he's in. They haven't really used him meaningfully, and maybe he's not capable of being used meaningfully, but I feel he's worthy of it. Now, if the season's shot to bits, I think with the 10 games remaining, he needs to play five of them. I think they owe it to him, given what he's been through.
He's been very loyal and stuck around in some pretty tough times, very tough times.
Yep.
St Kilda, don't miss the negatives for me.
No.
I mean, I really like their coach, Brett Ratton. I reckon he's a beauty. But he got prickly during the week about, well, we're not, 9-1, or 1-9 or whatever it was. And I just thought. And then I see Simon Lefleen, who I like as well, but he's starting to get worried about, how his players are being spoken about in the media.
Yeah.
Just get your footy right.
Yeah.
Now, you won a final last year. To lose that game, I know they were inaccurate and all the rest of it, but it looked from the outside looking in, we do a messaging segment on Saturdays. They're getting the messaging slightly wrong at the moment. Let's just focus on the 2 hours.
Couldn't agree more with what you've just said there, Jim. It's a perspective that, does shed light on where they are at and how they feel they're being viewed. And it's not good. I mean, to get to this stage of this season with just the five wins to their name and four of the eight losses have been horrendous and really horrendous and season demoralising losses. And even now, they're going to be without Membry and Ross for this weekend's game for personal reasons. But both have baby situations. Ross with twins and Membry about to have a child. So you absolutely can understand the decisions that those guys have made with COVID and not being able to be in a state for those games. But yeah, you look at the inaccuracy. It was King against Geelong 3 weeks ago. It was Jack Higgins on the weekend. Yep. And look, okay, you can say he played well, but 1-6 from the 7 shots at goal, it's too late
that would have won him the game. Yeah, I reckon. You slot both of those, you win.
Yeah.
And he missed them both badly too. Yep. So, he will be hurting on the back of that, and everyone's missed who's played any sport, to be honest. So, thought during the week and even after the game, they look to me to be focusing on the wrong things.
And it's a good point you make, Jim, because even another point to your list there is Brett Ratton then volunteering that Max King's got a sore back. Now, who does that?
Yeah.
Coaches hide injuries that players have got.
Yep.
I mean, we saw that David Teague got himself into trouble for protecting the injury that Paddy Cripps has had. We had a criticism of him for those reasons. But to volunteer it, he's chosen to play him in a game of footy, which he hasn't performed in again. wear it. I mean, well, once you're across the white line, don't you, Bill? You're right.
Oh, spot on. There's no excuses once you cross that line. The other interesting thing was our man, Lordo, being knocked back to take Max King away and just have a little, you know, he coached him at school. He knows Max King. He just wanted to have a little chat to him about his goal kicking, and the Saints said no. So I reckon they're sitting back, maybe the Saints saying, geez, everyone's having a go at us. What's going on? But don't feel like that. You've got to get out there and start winning games. Yeah.
Well, the other thing with messaging, you can get it right too. I loved Chris Fagan after that game. I don't know whether you heard his presser demo, but he just said, hey, we played a bad half against the best team in the comp.
That's right.
So, you know, we just got to wear that. But, you know, that's what we did.
Yeah.
I love it. Why do coaches ever be anything but just brutally honest?
Yeah.
Because there's enough people who know looking at all of this messaging going, right, there's a coach that gets it. You know,
And we know the bullshit, don't we? We know the spin. Everyone knows the spin and the bullshit. Hey, Dane Zorko, while we're in negatives in Brisbane. No need for that, Zorks.
No, that was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't. And then they've actually accepted that. They won't be challenging that at the tribunal, so he'll miss a week. Just on the bads, but not in a critical way. Just the poor Fremantle situation late in that game against the Bulldogs. We saw Griffin Logue connected by Aaron Norton, who is a dangerous machine out in their footy ground, isn't it? We saw what he did to Tim English, his own team. Mate, who missed 3 or 4 weeks with a concussion and ultimate face injury from him. He just took him out and he was out of the game at that point. And then in the space, quite incredibly, I've never seen anything like it, in the space of 1 minute, or maybe it'd been 45 seconds, Fife went down with a shoulder. Brendan Cox somehow did a hamstring build, which seems to be season ending. And Sean Darcy also required treatment for hamstring and wasn't back on the ground. So they were out at that point, and at that point of the game, they just got themselves back into a 9-point deficit and were coming. I don't think they would have got there, but they were coming.
They've been riddled with it. It's extraordinary. I actually had a list sent from Champion Data a few weeks ago. Last four seasons, Fat, the most games lost due to injury in the competition, and Fremantle and North Melbourne are that far ahead of the next worst.
More than GWS. Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Why horrific. Do they always, and the Giants too, why do they always have injuries, those two sides?
I don't know, but it's certainly Brisbane the best on the other end of the ledger. But it's, I mean, if you're running those joints, you'd be turning that part of your club upside down because it kills you.
Well, Brisbane's managed to get full careers now out of certainly Lincoln McCarthy, who could not get a game at Geelong just because his body let him down. And Danaher hasn't missed a beat since he's been there. And as we know, had basically played half a season in the previous three. So.
And the other one is Cockatoo. If they get him in there and play some games together, look out, they're doing something right. I've got a question about the Bombers. How are they going to pay and how much do they pay Parrish, Merritt and Stringer? Because they're all out of contract, Damien.
Stringer becomes the distant third on those conversations, I feel, Bill. That doesn't mean he's not still required, but he needs to get his head around that the contract financially for him will be significantly less than the other two, and that's just where he's at right now. So you deal with the other two, Bill, and I, strangely enough, I wouldn't have said this 6 weeks ago, I'd be putting Parrish at number one in terms of the need to retain. I feel he, more than Merritt, has transformed this footy club, and it's all come on the back of Dylan Shield going down, hasn't it, with him being able to get into the position he wanted to play desperately.
How much is Parrish then? What's he worth?
I'd be making him the 750-ish, and if Merritt, if that means Merritt needs to take about the same or a bit less, well, he needs to get his head around that, because you can't get them all. Wow. You can't pay them all that money, given they've already committed to Dylan Shield on big money and also Devin Smith on reasonable money as well.
It's going to be interesting. That, and then,
it's a good question.
Stringer comes in third. That is interesting. Stand by there.
Buses.
We'll get that one back from Hawthorn just because they had the bye and they've been sort of out of the news this week, Jim. So we'll put that second one at the Blues. So we've now got two down there. And
two.
That other one we've got in the shed there, that's going to get its a quick service and head down to Linton Street in Moorabbin.
Ooh,
for the Saints.
One down there.
Yeah, don't like what they've been dishing up on and off field this year. So,
I agree with that. But they have got the juice to bounce back if they get
have
it right.
Have they? I don't know if they have, Jim.
I reckon, well, if you look at the sides that are outside the eight, and they're now two games outside all four of them, Essendon, GWS, Freo and St Kilda. GWS and Freo, too much injury, unless they can miraculously get their best players back. And it's hard to do.
GWS should get a few back this week, including the possibility only at this stage of Toby.
Yeah, so they've both got the ability to get there if they can get healthy. But Essendon definitely, and St Kilda, if they can get their act together, they're the two for me that could maybe bounce themselves back into contention. And Essendon have got Hawthorn. the next up,
yep.
And St Kilda have got Adelaide next up.
Okay.
So we want, Bill, we want one of the, or a couple of those four challenging. We don't want the eighth set now.
Well, is it set?
Well, they're two games clear, Richmond and West Coast.
They are.
So we don't. We want them challenging from underneath.
You know, if it wasn't Richmond sitting in one of those positions, you'd probably say they're potentially vulnerable, but it's Richmond. So they're staying there. And West Coast showed enough in that heart win yesterday to make me think that they've turned a corner of sorts, because that was the worry about them, wasn't it? They hadn't shown the grit that's often required, and they just kept losing away from home. But I reckon they've, even though it was only St Kilda, I feel they showed enough yesterday to think that they've fixed that part of their game up.
Plot thickening here, Purple, because Richmond, of course, play West Coast this Sunday night. Have a listen to this. Essendon and GWS, Freo and St Kilda, who are the four teams, two games out, play Hawthorn, North Melbourne, Gold Coast and Adelaide.
Okay.
The bottom four teams. So we might just get a bit of jumping up, Fat, which is what we want.
Well, we do. You're right. Cats have got four hard games in a row, by the way.
Have they, Bill?
Well, they got Port Adelaide, then they take on Brisbane, then they take on the Western Bulldogs, and then they've got someone else. So they got four tough ones coming up.
But we weren't talking about them. They're third on the ladder.
Well, I brought them up.
Yeah, right, okay. Damo, great seeing you.
See you.
Damo's recovery session.
On the Listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Bill.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And in Melbourne, we call it a slab, Jim.
Oh, what's a slab of beer bought you, Bill?
So get the vernacular right.
How did he get that?
That's unbelievable.
JB and Bill.
Oh, yeah!
This is Triple M's Rush Hour on the Listener app. You can listen anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, you got to be careful these days.
Nobody has their finger on the pulse quite like Billy Brownless.
Now, what are we doing?
This is the Rush Hours. What stories are trending today? Unusual.
Yeah, what are they?
Well, this came across my desk, and this is unusual, Jim. Mm-hmm. A lady was having a meal in the Philippines, and she ordered a chicken schnitzel. She was about to chomp into it and give some to her son.
Chicken schnitzel.
In the Philippines.
In the Philippines. That's what it was it?
Yeah. Well, guess what? It wasn't a chicken schnitzel. It was a deep-fried tea towel.
Oh,
they've served up. I don't know how it's happened out in the kitchen, but they've crumbed. They have crumbed a tea towel, Jim.
No.
Put it in the deep fry. Served it up. She's sitting there with a young son. She tried to cut it. She couldn't cut it, so she bit into it, and it was a deep-fried tea towel.
I haven't heard of something as outrageous as that since a food shop in Geelong tried to serve a ham and cheese toasty and left the plastic wrapper around the cheese.
And you can see where the person bit into it because the teeth marks are in the cheese.
Barron's an idiot here, forgot to take the plastic off the plastic cheese.
Barry Stoneham's fault, that
was it?
That was, it was Barron's. And the other thing I saw, it's quite amusing, Donald Trump back in the news, Jimmy boy. That. He was speaking at a crowd in North Carolina. Anyway, everyone's tweeting saying, but guess what? He had the suit on, but he had his pants on backwards.
Backwards.
He had the suit pants on backwards. There's no fly, and it's all wrong. He's actually put his suit on the wrong way, if you don't mind.
Can't be rude. No fly, Bill Regan.
No fly. There's no fly, Jim.
We can't go any further.
Fake
Come
news.
On, Donald.
It's not fake news. Come on, Donald. You're better than that. No, you're not.
All right, now, Fat.
Yes.
We normally finish with a real bad Monday joke.
Yeah. Yes.
Last week was his worst.
No, horrific.
Yeah. Do you want a little teaser now or not?
Yeah, go on.
Well, I was just on a plane the other day and the captain come on and he said, "This is your captain speaking and this is your captain shouting."
If that's any sort of an indicator as to what we got coming up next. On.
We've got a song. You've got 3 minutes 26 to think of something better than that.
Oh, no.
It's a Rush Hour on Triple M.
Your captain shouting?
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Don't forget, download the Listener app. You can listen anywhere, anytime. Beck Danaher is on the show tomorrow to chat Fight, MND and Big Freeze 7.
Well, Big Freeze 7, including our man.
Fat.
Old Fat.
Yeah, Jim, when Nilo rings, you just got to say yes, Nilo. When, where, how. What a great man. What a great cause. And can you believe it's the seventh one? Unfortunately, I don't think there'll be a crowd there. The MCG will be there. But the game will be up.
What are you wearing?
Well, I'm just looking at it, and I'm got some great ideas from the Rush Hour family. I think less is best, Jim.
Oh no, I don't think that. So anyway, yes. Bec Danaher, we love. She's in tomorrow. Bernie Vince, I think we're also going to be chatting to. That. But now, end of a nice Monday helping.
Yes,
we get ready for a real bad joke.
Right?
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Now, Jim, before I go with this one, it's been a bit lean on the jokes, fair to say.
Terrible.
My old man, my old mate at Reddit, he actually passed away, so there's no Reddit jokes, Jim. That's why I was to pinch him. So what I'm going to do is send a SOS to the world. That's
your little music grab.
The SOS. Well, right. and please, out there, the family, a joke that I can tell on air.
So how do people send them?
Well, they send them email or they telegram.
Box, email.
Telegram. Remember at the wedding they used to read out the telegrams?
Yes, I do, Fat. But how do legitimately people send
them? On our social channels, so Triple M Rush Hour, Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Just send us a DM, Bill. You know about those.
DM, and a photo. But, ones that I can read out on air, Jim, because I get a lot.
Yeah, of course you do.
But a lot of them are for Fruity Friday, and I can't even tell them on Fruity Friday.
All right, come on then.
Righto, Jim, here it is. You wouldn't believe what happened to me this morning.
What happened to you this morning?
I had to go and see my doctor. I broke my arm in two places, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what he told me?
What did he tell you?
He told me to stop going to those places.
So that's like a warm-up sort of, even just a rubbish one. So here we go with Monday's joke.
Yep.
A soldier survived mustard gas in battle, Jim.
Yes.
And then he survived pepper spray by the police. You could say now he's a seasoned veteran.
Oh, no.
That's better.
Better than the first one. But it's not saying much.
Well, that's three. Because also, what about what the bloke said on the aeroplane?
Oh, no.
This is your captain speaking. This is your captain shouting.
We can only apologise. That's all we can do.
Get
Oh, no.
King of the Long. Oh, no.